Jesus, speaking to his apostles today, has some challenging words. As he's sending them out, he's saying that, you know, whoever loves their father and their mother more than him does not deserve his love. And the same with child. And we can think of that in our own life and ask ourselves, you know, is Jesus the number one person that we love? Is God the person that we love above all things? You know, it's easy for us to love the things that we see, the things in our own life, whether it's our family, whether it's friends, or even the material things in our life. You know, there's a lot of things that we love and we can put in front of God in our own life, that we can put as obstacles, make excuses for ourselves not to go to God more. And we can look at it even further, deeper, and we can see that, you know, even every time we sin, we're saying that, you know, this thing is more important than God. You know, no matter how big or how small that sin is, we're saying that, you know, this thing I love more than you, God. I'm willing to say yes to this temptation, even though I know I should say no, because out of love for our God. And we have to look at our lives and look at all these places that, where is my love for God? Is it overriding everything else? Or do I have other things that are overriding my love for God? When I come to Mass, do I do it just because it's an obligation? Or do I do it because I love God? When we pray every day, are we praying out of love for God? Or is it just out of something that we feel that we have to do? You know, there's all these places in our life where we can show our love for God more and more each and every day. We can grow closer to Him. We can remove those obstacles in our life so that at our forefront, God is always there. But we always have to be looking at those places and asking ourselves, do I love this thing more than God? Do I love this person more than God? Or is God the number one in my whole life? And we have to live our life like that. And further on, Jesus says that if you're going to follow me, you have to pick up your cross. And this would have been something that would have probably been jarring for that time, as the cross was only associated with a criminal's death, one of the most gruesome deaths that we could have. But Jesus is saying that we have to pick up our crosses. We have to put those on. We have to have those sacrifices in our life so that we can grow closer to Jesus, that we can grow more in love for Him. You know, it's hard for us at times to say no to those things that we know that we should be saying no to. And it's hard for us sometimes to say yes to God. But though it's part of picking up our cross, is that we're dying to ourselves. You know, Jesus says that, you know, when we have life, when we lose our life, we'll be filled with His life. It's by dying to ourselves and losing our own life that we gain the life of Christ within ourselves. You know, when we're baptized, we enter into the body of Christ. And you know, we get that fullness when we are confirmed, and we come to Mass and we receive the Eucharist, entering into His body. And all these parts, we can enter more fully into Him, and we can allow Him to reside more in our own life. But it's letting go of those places in our own lives that we don't let God reside. It's letting go of those places that we say, well, I love you, God, but this I'm not going to let go of. Allowing God to take those so that He can fill us with His own love. Because in order for us to love like God, we have to have the love of God within us. We always have to have God's love first. You know, all the saints, we look at their lives. The number one thing in their life was prayer, the Mass, the sacraments, all those things that filled their life with God. And from there, they brought it to other people. We first have to allow that love of God into our lives, to allow God to reside within us, And we always have to remember, no matter where we're on in our journey, that there's always places that we have to let go. Places that we realize that we didn't realize before that, you know, we have an attachment here that we're not allowing God to fully live in our lives. Looking at those places that we always place in front of God, we make those excuses. We say, well, you know, this or that. But we always have to remember that, you know, we're not called to live a life of comfort. No, we're made to live a life of greatness. God wants us all to be saints. You know, a saint lives a great life. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we're all going to be like the apostles, going out, preaching, doing all these miracles. And Jesus realizes that, and we see in the second half of the gospel today, that, you know, he says, even that small cold glass of water, they'll get their reward. You know, helping out the apostles on their mission. You know, that's a way that we can show our love for God, is helping out on the mission for God. Are we allowing that mission to succeed? Are we ignoring those people that are preaching the word of God? Or are we helping them out? Are we listening? Are we obeying? And we see that, you know, the apostles, the descendants today, are our bishops, our pope. You know, they're here as the descendants of the apostles to help keep God's kingdom here on earth going, to keep the church going. You know, even, you know, priests, we get our delegation from our bishops. And we see that, you know, they're here to help guide us. They're here to help show us the way. They're here to help bring the kingdom to God into our life. And we can either, you know, help them, or we can ignore them, or we can put up those walls and say what they're doing is not right. And God wants us to help them as much as we can. You know, we see in the Eucharistic prayer that every time at Mass, we always pray for the Pope and our local bishop. We're always praying for them so that, because we know that it's a hard job. It's not an easy job. But most of all, it's so that, you know, the holiness that comes from the Pope, the holiness that comes from the bishops, will trickle down to help all of us become holy. Because as we know, our path of holiness, if we try by ourselves, it's not going to work. We need other people to help support us. We need those to help guide us. We need others to walk in our journey together. It's not a journey that we go alone. It's not something that we say, well, this is something that I do. Because, as I said before, you know, when we're baptized in the body of Christ. You know, we have that unity together. The unity that God wants us to live. And he wants us to avoid, you know, all those things and to love him above all. So that we can help each other out. So that the whole body can be one. So that we may all join him once again in heaven. But it's always looking at those places in our life where, how can I live the life of Christ better? How can I love him more? Where are those places that I need to take up my cross? Where are those places that I have refused to give up my cross? Where are those places that, you know, I'm afraid to give up my life and let God reside within me? Where are those places that I can help the mission of the church? That I can help God's love and his message come to everybody? We always have to be looking at those parts. You know, at the end of Mass, we're always sent forth. It's not just that the Mass has ended and we're all done, but we're being sent forth to bring God's love into the world. But we first have to experience that love in our own life and to have that love of God as the forefront in all that we do so that we may reflect that love of Christ into the world for everybody else.